Because all say when you enter a new place, new Beis Medrash, a new home, you have to start by giving kavod to the hosts. So I don't know all of you. I don't know Rav Turetsky very well, but the little bit that I've had to speak with Gershon, I know that I'm in a good place. So thank you very much for having me. Sukkis, Sukkot. We're coming off of a pretty heavy time. How is everybody's Yom Kippur? Tiring, good, spiritual, powerful. Hope some of those things. The fact that you're all in this room right now is amazing. I just woke somewhere else and half the room was asleep, so this was great. I don't think it was because I was talking. They were asleep before I got there. I think. Yom Kippur is a heavy time. Rosh Hashanah is a heavy time. It's a good time.
Heavy.
Elul, we're working very hard on getting to know ourselves better, building our relationship with Hashem. Life and death, literally standing, looking at Hashem in the face. Mi yichyeh, mi yamut. Who's going to live? Who's not? And then, just like that, we're going to wake up today. And by Sunday night, we're going to be partying like we didn't party all year for 7 days. Simcha, and running around, and Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and an incredible influx of love and goodness and fun and good spirit. And it's like such a crazy polarity, right? Fear, heavy, building, inspiration. And then it's a light, fun, love, exciting. Sukkos. Where are we coming from? Where are we going? How does that connection happen? And I remember when I was in yeshiva by the mir, I was in a dira, an apartment right next to the mir. And how they do diras by the mir is there's a place that holds about 4 people and they stick 10 kids there, right? That's what they do. And so you get to know a lot of people really quick from the 5,000 people that are in the mir. And on the second day of Sukkos one year, these 2 bachrim walked in. And they're like, man, we are so shikr. We're going to get really shikr tonight. That's how shikr we are. We're going to just get shikr. All night. Shikr, shikr, shikr. And I looked at my chavrusa and my roommate. And we looked at them and said, 2 days ago, you were standing on Yom Kippur with a smile on your face, with complete tmimut, and you were going, Yehei Shmei Rabban. Like this, like, completely beautiful, uplifting prayer. Now all you're talking about is getting drunk. So I'm not suggesting that people do that. But the idea is it's like an amazing switch that for some people somewhere that's acceptable, right? But the idea is that there's a completely different change, a lightheartedness that takes over when we come to Sukkot. How do we do that? Why are we doing that? So, and it's not just an experience. If you look in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Arizal says, there's a pasuk. It's a small attack of the roshi, the immediate hechav kini. Right, the left hand is under my head, and the right hand gives me a hug. And he says that's talking about these days. It's talking about the aseret me'tshuva, in contrast to Sukkot. That there are these 10 days who are days of yira, fear, and 10 days, and then another 8 days of love, with the 4 days in the middle. Which, by the way, we're sitting today in the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which the Zohar says it's some of the 4 holiest days of the entire year. Tap into it, grab onto it. This is a very special time. Some of the most special days that aren't a Yom Tov. So you have fear, you have love. So that's where I want to begin. Let's start with fear. What is fear? Anybody, what's fear? How do you define fear?
That one can be afraid of a consequence from his or her action?
Sure. So it's a fear of a consequence, all right? Hey, my definition of fear, shalavim for women speaking.
Okay.
Awe. That's right. Those are basically the 2 answers, right? It's a fear of something bad that's maybe going to happen, right? Or an incredibly high, exalted, I'm in awe, this is awesome. I don't know what to do with what's in front of me. But here's the common denominator. This is a big deal. Yira comes from the word yira'e. That's why I make the connection. It means it's something you can see. Anything you can see, by definition, right, it's outside of you. I'm looking at it. You can't see your face, right, unless you're looking in a mirror. You don't see you. I can see everybody here, but you can't see yourself. Yira is when I see something outside of me, it's external, and I choose to act based on this external thing. When a person's afraid of something, they don't want something bad to happen to them, you're afraid of something coming down at you, like low-level fear, right? It's not that you want to run away, you have to run away, right? You don't want to get hit. Some of you may not want to be in this room right now, but it could be that you have to be here. Right? That's a type of fear. That's okay. Fear is any time that we don't have choice. I have to. I need to. I feel forced to. I'm coerced into the following situation. Those are types of fear. The dugma, the example for this, is Kabbalat Torah, Matan Torah, Shavuot. Says that's when we gained the Torah, we were mekabel the Torah, we received the Torah, but it was a yira type of receiving. Why? Because what? How did we receive the Torah? What happened? God lifted the mountain over our heads. The Maharal says that he didn't actually lift the mountain over our heads literally. Could be that he did it also literally. But it's that it was so clear to us that we had to accept Hashem and Torah in our lives that we had no choice. And the moment that we don't have a choice, anything we do is fear-based. Make sense? We're awake? We're asleep? It's like the other class? Yeah, you guys are awake. Love is the exact opposite. Love is the gematria echad, right? It's a famous Torah from Rav Nachman. Ahava and echad are the same. They both equal 13. Because when a person acts out of love, it's because they don't see it as separate from them. They feel one with it already. When a person makes a love-based decision, it's a choice. It comes from will, it comes from desire, it comes from something you want to do. When you love somebody, you do things for them because you want to, not because you have to, not because you need to, and you don't feel forced. The moment you would do that, it would be a forced relationship, which would put us back into Yira. But Ava is something great. Ava is that love that we have with our parents and with our friends, and siblings, and spouses, and anything in our life, really. When we can give of our inner self, and we connect to our inner will and our inner Ratzon, and we give from there, and we connect from there, we act from there, that creates love. This is the line. Love is a creation of choice. It's a chiddush. Rav Dessler says this. He says that love can't be created unless you can choose. That means that in a relationship with your spouse, God willing, you should all be married at the right time. And with that spouse, you will both choose to be in that relationship. And it won't be, I have to, I need to. You want to, right? Ask any person on the day they got proposed to, they want to be there. They didn't have to be there, right? Unless they said no, then they had to be there to say no. But otherwise, they want to be there. That's the difference between fear and love. It's a big concept. These are big concepts, and they're with us every single day. These are primary emotions. Every one of us carry them. Every action we do can either be a fear-based action or a love-based action. That's it. All of the different minutiae and pratim and details of all the different types of things we can do, they all stem from these two places. That's what the Sfarim say. So what does that have to do with Sukkos? So Sukkos is about love. What on earth does Sukkos have to do with love? So let's start earlier. Are we all familiar with the concept that Jewish time doesn't work like non-Jewish or secular time? The way we see the world, it's not linear, it's cyclical, it's a spiral layer. Just for those who aren't familiar with the concept, we'll give a brief introduction. In a secular way of thinking is, you know, today is Sunday, and here is Shabbat, and then there's going to be Sukkot, and on and on and on. That's how life goes, on a line. But in Judaism, we don't believe that the world, the year, works on a line. It's not a timeline, it's a time spiral. What's a time spiral? It means that time keeps going like this, but every single day has an energy, a cosmic force, a light that's attached to that day, and every time that day comes back, one thing connects to it. For example, Pesach. Pesach, it's a time of freedom, right? Jewish people leave Egypt, a time of redemption. Every year now, when Pesach comes around, all the Torahs that you're going to hear are, you can change, you can be free, break away from the Yetzer Hara, freedom, Jewish identity, who are we, what are our people? Those are going to be the Torahs of Pesach. Now what came first, the Torahs or the event? So the event came first, kind of. You see, the event, what happened, you'd see it with Mitzrayim, was really just a reflection of the time. The Chiddush of Torah is that what happens in this world is really reflecting a world that's happening already above, in Shemayim. There's a koach, an energy of freedom on the 15th of Nisan. And we get to be the benefactors of that every 15th of Nisan. So Yetziat Mitzrayim is a signpost. It tells us, by the way, this time is about freedom. Shavuot, something else. It tells us, this time is about a marriage with Hashem. Chazal say Shavuot is when we got married with God. This time is about we receive God in our lives. That's what we do on Shavuot. Purim, we celebrate life, right? We were supposed to be annihilated. Jewish people, done. Right? Hitler, Yimach Shemo, times 10. Nothing. He wanted to leave not a speck of dirt, not a remnant of the Jewish people. And we survived. Purim is a signpost to Jewish life. So here's the question. $1 million question. If I had $1 million. I don't. So I'll smile. What would happen on Sukkot that we're celebrating? What's the event that we're going back to on Sukkot?
That God provided for us when we were in
the Midbar. He provided for us when we were in the Midbar. That's exactly what the Gemara says. He gave us Anane Akavod and Hatz. When did we have that provision? When did God give to us? After you too much time, for how long? 40 years. 40 years. But we're celebrating it now. Arbitrarily, in the middle of Tishrei. God didn't have enough things for us to do in this month. Or Shoshana, Shabbat, Yom Kippur. It happens to be it's the right answer, but we're just going to have to get into the depth of why it's true. What happened on the 15th of Tishrei? Amazing. What was Justin Bieber's last hit song? No one? Everybody's laughing because they know it. I don't, but we do know things that are important to us, and we know things that happen now. We've been Jewish our whole life, and a lot of people, I find, don't know exactly what happened on the 15th of Tishrei, at least according to the Vilna Gaon. Right? What is it? Oh?
Was it the dedication of Yerushalayim?
That's right. That is right. So now we have to explain what that has to do with Sukkot, but that's the answer. Yeah, we're going to say it now. This is why we're here. What was your name?
Racheli.
Racheli said the dedication of the Mishkan. And it's that and more. During the desert, we had, as what was his name?
Sherelle.
Sherelle said we had the provision from Hashem, we had the huts, we had the Anane HaKavod. We had the clouds of glory. What were the clouds of glory? Those clouds didn't bring rain. Those were the coolest clouds that ever existed. They blocked enemy warfare, when people threw rocks and stones and archers would shoot arrows at the Jewish people. They guided us. Imagine anywhere you went, you had something guiding you. You do. It's called Waze. I don't. I got lost almost every place I spoke to in the last 3 weeks. I should get Waze. That's my lesson. But it was more than that. It wasn't just direction in terms of where they were going. The Sfarim say that they had Nevuah. they had incredible intuition for where they should go in their lives. The ananiya kavod, kavod is means honor or respect. The Maharal says it means the revelation of God. It was revealed to them. They knew where they were going. They had clarity. Imagine always having clarity. Should I come to Shalavim? Should I not come to Shalavim? Should I stay longer? Should I go to this university, that university? Every question that we go through, we deal with that struggle, right? They didn't. The struggle was much less because they had that clarity. The Ananiya Kavod gave that to them. The Ananiya Kavod, the clouds of glory, were a sign of God's love, His Hashgacha, His divine providence. It provided for us. He gave to us. The Sfarim say that it was the revelation that His presence was with us. You know what it's like? Like we said, we're in a marriage with God, right? With Hashem, with our soul, right? These are concepts familiar. We have this type of male-female relationship. And so there was Shalom Bayis, right? There was a lot of Shalom Bayis between the Jewish people and Hashem. Until one day. Until the Chet HaEgel. And the Jewish people messed up. We burnt his eggs, you know, if we were a wife. We called him the wrong name. We didn't say thank you. Whatever it was, whatever imagery you want, as a spouse, we did the wrong thing. We messed up. And that was the end of the Ananiya Kavod. No more. So we tell my daughter, when she does something bad, we say, no more. She's two. She's so cute. No more. No more clouds of glory. But it's not just no more clouds of glory. The Chumash, not Chazal, not some rabbi, God says that when this happened, they were in a velos, this Yavlu. They were in mourning. Because God said, not only am I taking away the clouds, but me taking away the clouds means that's it, I'm done with you. Me, I'm your husband, yeah? Walking out, bye. The pain of losing a loved one. Hashem said, I don't want to be there right now. I don't want to be there with you. We cried and we cried and we cried. Weird that girls cry. We cried. I cried, but I don't say that in public. Except now, when I did. But we cried, and then Moshe cried for us, and he goes up to the mountain, and he davens for 40 days for the Jewish people. He says, don't kill the Jewish people. And it's more than just a physical death, right? If you're in a relationship with somebody and you walk from them and you say, you know what, I don't want to be your friend anymore, you killed that relationship, right? In a certain part, you killed a part of them, which was the them connected to you. Hashem walking away means that he was going to kill us. Moshe said, you can't do this. We're the Jewish people. We're the chosen people. We're your wife. You can't go. And after 40 days, Hashem says to Moshe, fine. I won't kill you all. But I'll send a malach, an angel, to guide you wherever you go. I'm staying in the background. You know what that's like? It's like the husband coming back and saying, fine, we won't get divorced, but we only speak through text messages. That's it. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I'll send an SMS. That's it. You'll get it. Moshe says, that's not enough. And he goes back up for 40 days. We want more. I don't want a text message relationship with you. I want a real, living, breathing relationship with Hashem, with my soul, with reality. That's what I want. And he davened for 40 days. And those 40 days, every single day, he had one tefillah, the Vilna Gaon says. He had a tefillah, please don't leave us. Come back home. Do not leave us. That was the whole message. And on Yom Kippur, the first Yom Kippur the Jewish people ever celebrated. First one. Hashem says, I forgive you. For the Chet HaEgel, it was the first one. And every time we go through Yom Kippur since then, it's a little bit of remembering that, of the Egel. Of, wow, we messed up with it. The Medrash says that there is something called God's wedding day, and then the day of His heart's joy. The pasuk in Shir Shirim. Wedding day, heart's joy. When's the wedding day? Shavuot, Matan Torah. When's the heart's joy? When we built the Mishkan. The question is, why is the heart's joy not the same day as the wedding? I don't know about you. I've been married. Amazing. Wedding day? Awesome. Light, love, happiness. It's an unbelievable time. It says the Medrash, it may be an unbelievable time, but that's not real simcha. It's not real happiness. It's not built on anything. We just met 6 hours ago. I mean, in the world that I come from, people do that. I didn't. We did it for many months before we got married. But I know people who got married in 6 hours. Didn't work out so great. But it happens. When does the marriage really start? Only when there's a fight. Not a really a fight, even a misunderstanding. When a challenge comes up and you say, I'm going to be here with you anyway. I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to not talk to you. I choose this relationship. On Yom Kippur, Hashem said, I know you did something wrong. I recognize your faults, but I'm not going to walk. You know what? I am going to stay. I love you even though you're not perfect. I love you even though you irritate me. I love you even though you have faults. That's okay. Because you're human. We couldn't say that back to Hashem. But He said, yes, that's okay, you're human. But there's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. Because one can forgive, but they harbor it with them. You ever have that experience where you're with somebody and you kind of said that thing to them that one time that really got them upset, and every time you talk to them after that, they pretend that everything's cool, but you know they're really holding on to it. And so you try to make things better, but it just makes things worse because they're really mad at you, but they're not telling you, but they forgave you, so they're talking to you. It's very awkward sometimes, and then like it ends up making things worse, right? And we do that to other people also. We forgive them, but like, I can't believe she said that to me. We do that. So we were afraid. Maybe Hashem forgave us, but He didn't forget. And to that, He said, I want you to build a Mishkan. I want you to build a bayit. Build a home, because we're going to build a home together. And in the excitement, Moshe comes down. And between the 10th, which was Yom Kippur, and the 15th, He tells the nation, everybody gets excited. They start gathering people together to start building the Mishkan. They get gold and silver and copper and all the things necessary to build the Mishkan. And when that first nail hit the metal and they started building the Mishkan on the 15th of Tishrei, the Anane HaKavod returned. And says the Vilna Gaon, the provision that Sherel, right, that was telling us about, the Anane HaKavod, and Rachelli told us the dedication of the Mishkan, they're the same thing. Because it was the return of the Anani HaKavod that commenced with the building of the Mishkan, which was the symbol that God said, I am back. I never really wanted to leave. I'm always with you. I'll always be taking care of you no matter what happens in your life. I'll be there. The story of a man and a woman who had a terrible marriage is a true story. And years and years, from the first week, things weren't working out. They stayed married, they had children, but it was one of those marriages where they didn't really speak very much. It's a hard story, it's a sad story, it happens to people, unfortunately. And one morning, this husband looked at his wife at a breakfast table and said, honey, is there anything I can do for you today to make your day better? And she looked at him and he said, don't give me that. I don't want that. He said, no, really. Is there anything that I can do to make your day better? And she says, you think this is funny? Just humor me, he said. She said, you can wash the dishes. Wash the dishes for a change. So he did. And they went on with their day. The next morning, same thing. Honey, is there anything you can do to make your day better today? You gonna play this again? You gonna play with me again? So just try me. You can pick up your laundry. You know you leave your laundry on the house, put it in the machine. Picks up his laundry. And the next day, when he looked at his wife, he said again, honey, is there anything that I can do for you today to make your day better? She broke down and she started crying. And she said, I know that it's my fault also, and I know that we have a bad marriage, and I know that I've been sabotaging it, I know that you've been sabotaging it, but I couldn't bring myself to love you anymore because I wasn't sure if you were still there. Didn't know you still cared about me. And then they fell in each other's arms and they began to build again from there. And they actually, today, they have a wonderful marriage. What we were doing during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is basically coming to God, coming to ourselves, our inner selves, what we know is bigger and better than any way that we act, and saying, honey, is there any way I can make this day better for you? It's 10 days of intense tshuva, of intense work, because we're saying, I get it, I'm not perfect, but I want to change, and I want to be better. Can I do this better? And after 10 days, Hashem says to us on Yom Kippur, thank you. I really just wanted to know that you were here. And because you're here, and because you want this relationship, I want to tell you that not only do I love you, I never really left. I was there the whole time. I was just waiting to make sure that you were still here. And we go straight from Yom Kippur into the amazing Simcha called Sukkos. And Sukkos is when we celebrate that hug, that embrace, after we recognize. The Arizal says, the word Sukkah, each letter represents another way to give a hug. Amazing, the Arizal. Deepest Kabbalist in the world, he says, Sukkos is about hugging. The Yamini Techavkeini, he says, your right hand will hug me. You can hug somebody like this, hug somebody like that, you can hug somebody around the arm, he says, right? One, two, and then there's a piece inside, right? The Sukkah is a hug. It's a hug from Hashem. It's a hug from our soul. It's a hug from our inner self. It's letting us know, you know, the work that we put in the last 2 weeks, last 40 days from the beginning of El, the change, the courage it takes to come to Israel, the courage it takes to make a change, to make a shift in the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we talk, everything. I saw it. I didn't miss a thing. On Sukkot, we celebrate the fact that everything we do that moves us closer towards our better self, our higher self, and ultimately to Hashem, it's seen. It's seen. Nothing we do goes unseen. And the changes that we want to make, even if we don't actually make them, it's the desire. Rav Desmond says, the ratzon, the teshuka, the cheshek, the will to want to change, that's what shows Hashem that you want to change. That's what makes him say, you know what, I love you. I see you want to change. You're human. I know you put my eggs, you put the coffee, you did this, whatever. But I love you, and I'm coming back. The Zohar says that the sukkah is like the teva of Noah. Right? Noah's Ark. The whole world can be falling apart. The whole world can be destroyed. And there's an oasis, an atmosphere that's separate, that can be alive. On Sunday night, we're all going to start Sukkah. Wherever we are. And we're going to be in a Sukkah. And we have a choice to tap into the 15th of Tishrei. Tap into the returning of the Anani Akavu, which really means tapping into the fact that we forgive and forget. Forgive yourself for all the mistakes you made. Forgive yourself for all the times that you said the wrong thing. Forgive yourself when you embarrass yourself for doing whatever it is that you did. Because Hashem forgives us. So we have to forgive ourselves. This is a time of modeling ourselves after God. God forgives and forgets. We have to do the same. And when we do that, we celebrate the greatest simcha. Because life is about the struggle, it's about trying. And so we put ourselves in this oasis. We leave away from the confines of material structures that are built heavily and sturdily with heavy roofs, and we go outside into a temporary structure that's flimsy and can easily be blown away. How do I know it can be blown away? Because I've had my simcha blown away. So they can be blown away, but that's okay. The fact that it can be blown away, the fact that it's flimsy, the reason why we're going there is because what took us away from Hashem, from God, from goodness, from light, compassion, gratitude, sincerity, truth, all the values that we know are true, which we lose them sometimes and we end up doing the thing that's not okay. We do the thing because of taiva or jealousy or whatever, and we do something even though we know it's not the right thing, because we got distracted. But really, we know what's good, and we know what's true, and we know who we are. Right? Hashem is not some being in the sky who's judging us, saying, you shall live and you shall die. God is light. He's love, He's goodness, He's compassion, He's pure. We've been screaming it for 10 days, 40 days. Hashem, Hashem, Keil Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim. God is pure chesed. It's only light and there's only love. Why do bad things happen to good people? Another class. But there's only love. Temporary. We go into a temporary dwelling place to remind ourselves that Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Simcha something, you know what it's called? Simple Spot, right? See? All these things, they're temporary. They used to say, here today, gone tomorrow. Now it's here today, gone today. If you put a picture on Facebook, and then you come back a few hours later to see who commented on it, there's been 30 other pictures that's been posted somewhere else that everybody's already talking about, so you basically missed your opportunity, so you might as well not put up the picture in the first place, it's really not going to matter, so save your time, go read a book. We live in such a generation that's moving. It's time to connect to what's real. And what's real are relationships. Relationship with yourself, relationship with Hashem, relationship with your friends, your parents. Those are real. Those are lasting. The Maharal says that it all begins with yourself. Until you really have a relationship with yourself, you start to work on understanding yourself, it's going to be very hard to work with other people. We go into a temporary place to remind us that these things, these distractions, they're just temporary. They're not really real. The world is transient. It's moving. It's on its way out. I was giving a shir somewhere, and I said, yeah, but bad things happen in the world. Do you know how many people died in history? I said, yeah, everybody. Yeah, not bad. We're all going to the same place. Everybody. It's a reminder. And when we're reminded, we can connect to what's real and good and true and love. That's the ahava of Sukkos. That's the echad. It's the choice. Hashem says, I'm going to choose you despite the fact that you mess up. And it's then on us to say, I'm going to choose you, Hashem, despite the fact that bad things happen in my life and I don't understand them. Because by us, that's when, if you will, Hashem burns our food. Hashem doesn't say thank you to us. Anybody know what schach is made out of? Everybody said something, but nobody said it. Can't hear you.
Natural elements.
Natural elements, okay. It's true. It has to be natural elements that are what's called psolet. Chazal say it has to be psolet. Anybody know what that means? Psolet? Waste. It's the unwanted secondary part of the natural goods. It's what we call in English trash. We have to make our holy sukkah, our teva, our hug from Hashem, our oasis from all the negative things out of trash. Why are we building the roof of our sukkah, which is supposed to be the most holy, beautiful thing, out of trash? Rav Kuttner says, because in life, there are things that happen to us and we see them as trash. Why did that have to happen to me? Why was I born with this issue? Why did they have to give me parents like this? Why did that person do that to me? Trash. It's psilic. But on Sukkot, we stop and we have to realize all of the trash of our lives, it was given to us to give us the opportunity to choose Hashem despite that. To look beyond it, to rise above it, and to grow and maintain the relationship with Hashem that we couldn't have had otherwise. No one gets anything in their life that they can't withstand and not grow from. I'm not saying that everything in the world is rosy and rainbows and candy and everything's good. Hard times are hard times. Bad things do happen. But it's not the end. It never ends in bad. We have the opportunity to grow from anything in life. I davened this year in a shul called Kilat B'nai Torah. Anybody know what that is? Kilat B'nai Torah was where there was a terrorist attack just about a year ago, 11 months ago. And four people that I knew were killed in the shul while they were davening, while they were saying Shmon Esrei. You can imagine it was very heavy, intense Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We were saying Avinu Malkeinu, and they got to those who were Tavuchim Al Yichudecha, who were slaughtered for the sake of your name. It's heavy. Hard times happen. But I've never seen the shul more together. I've never seen so much chesed and love, the outpouring financial help, the emotional help that went to these families and that went to each other, that changed the entire community. I'm not saying it's worth it, that those things should happen, but growth can happen from the hard times. That's why the schach is made from psolet. The thing that we look at as trash, that's actually something that can protect us. That's part of God's love also. But we have to make that choice. And like we said, love is the creation of choice. We can choose. You can go through life and we can have a sour attitude. Or we can try to look for the good in things and look for the meaning and look for a way to rise above, to change, to not stay stagnant, stuck in the position of neutral that is so easy to get stuck in. There's so much God wants more for you than you could ever want for yourself. Our brains and our hearts aren't big enough to fathom how much Hashem really wants for you. We can't. Hashem only wants good for you. The problem is we get stuck in the noise. There's a lot of noise. Right? Whether it's technology, or whether it's hanging out with our friends, or whether it's a good book, whatever it is, they're not bad, but we can get distracted from what's good and true. From real love. From real expression of spirituality. A true divine experience. Which we've all had. We've all felt those good times. And we all want them more. Anybody know how to say hush or silence in Hebrew? Sheket? Yeah, that's what they say to me on the bus also.
Isn't it die?
Die, right. That's what my daughter says to me now. She does. She came home one day. Die, die, die. If you're American, it's a terrible thing. The word in Hebrew is, it's a very high vocabulary word. It's has. It's like hush. Hush probably came from there. Has. Hey, Sam. The first time we see it come in Torah is by Kalev ben Yefuna. When the Meraglim, the spies, came back and gave their bad report about Eretz Yisrael, and all the Jews were losing their minds, Kalev said, he stood up at the podium and it says, Vayahas Kalev. He hushed the nation. Kalev silenced the nation. The Ramchal explained that it wasn't mean he silenced the nation, he silenced their emotions. We run wild with our emotions, and that's where our distractions come. And they pull at us, and they pull us away from what we know is good and what we know is true. We need to find that silence. If we can silence the things around us, we can find Hashem within us. We can find the godliness within us, the goodness within us, the compassion and the positivity that lies inside of us. The name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Hashem, God, it's Gematria 26, which in letters is Chav-Vav. On Sukkot, if we has, if we can silence all the things that surround us, we can find Hashem that's inside. We can find the Chavav, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, 26. That's our relationship with our soul. It's our relationship with Hashem. And it's our ability to see the godliness of a person sitting in front of you. And every person you look at is special and good and pure. It's just covered with noise. We don't always hear the person because we're looking at the noise. When we go in a sukkah and we close out the noise and we press the silent button, we can start focusing on what's true, what's good, what's godly. With that, I want to give a blessing, bracha, to everyone here, including myself and all our families. We should be zoche to find the teva, our special oasis, feel the hug from Hashem, feel the hug from yourself, forgive yourself, and close out all the noise, close out all the distractions, and spend a week trying to connect to something true and good, and connect to the Hashem inside of you. Thank you very much. I am selling copies of the Sukkos book. A lot of this is in there, the other things as well. It's 50 shekels a book. So here for a few more minutes.